is the Schnitt Show.
This has come up numerous times that some relationships were getting strained over the political climate and Trump supporters who are one half of a relationship might be having trouble with the other half of the relationship. You know what I'm talking about. This has come up, you know, husbands and wives fighting or boyfriends and girlfriends fighting. So that's not new. That is kind of old hat, old news. Now, what I did see is that now the Donald Trump political algorithm has now jumped into the dating world and these dating apps. I'm like, what? Yeah. The Sacramento Bee out in California had a story, online dating changes with Donald Trump's election. And you're not going to believe some of the details here. They start out the story talking about the treacherous, amusing, sometimes rewarding world of online dating. Donald Trump has become the newest way to find or reject a romantic match. Did you vote for or do you support Donald Trump? Then I'm not your man. It would never work. One user says in the opener to his bio on Tinder. Now, I've heard about Tinder. I've never even seen Tinder work. I've never actually seen somebody even on Tinder. But isn't the deal on Tinder swipe left, swipe right? Something to that effect. Well, wait, whoa, hang on a sec. Who is that? Oh, James. All right. James, stay right there. Can you grab Sue's microphone and turn Sue's microphone on and get in front of the video feed. So this is great. So is the mic in front of your face?
Kind
of.
I wouldn't stretch that far.
Well, bring it as close as you can. All right, bring as close as you can. All right, so James is our engineer at Tampa Master Control. And James is now, this is Tinder that I'm looking at?
Yes, it is.
All right, James is showing me Tinder on our video link. And I'm looking at a girl now on the beach in a bathing suit.
Yep.
And her name is Luella.
She's probably fake.
All right, so how do you know what's real and what's fake on Tinder?
If they're model like this, there's no way she lives in Florida.
Well, first of all, the picture with the humongous cliffs, that doesn't look like Florida. It looks like California, Hawaii. I don't know where that is, but that's not Florida. All right, so what? Explain this to me. So what is swipe left, swipe right? Now, how did this woman in the bikini on the beach, who looks like she's a very attractive blonde, how did this even pop up on your phone on your Tinder app?
Pretty much, you open the app, you set the preference to whether, you know, the distance of girls that you want popping up.
Okay, so what parameters did you set here?
I think I have within 20 miles, and apparently she's 15 miles away.
She's 15 miles away. Her name is Luella. Can you go ahead and I can't read it. Go ahead and read. Get on the mic and read that description. She's got a little description
there. She's trying to take one day at a time with my son. Graduated college, but planning on going back for American Sign Language. Looking for a light relationship, nothing too serious.
Oh, and that's smoking hot Luella.
Uh-huh.
So if you're interested in Luella, what do you do?
I could swipe her right.
You swipe her right.
Then she goes away.
Okay,
so
then
if she swipes me right, then we get a chat room, and then we get to hook up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, now who's this now? What is this? This is what's the name of that? Put it near my screen. This is Linda, and Linda's 27 years old.
Not my type.
And Linda's you don't like the tattoos up and down her arms? Is that it?
No, not my type.
I'm looking. See, this is the first time I've ever seen Tinder. And then
wait till your son gets Tinder.
Now, James, are you active on Tinder?
I'm not really looking, but I just browse for entertainment.
Has anybody ever swiped you right as well?
I've moved to a chat room? I've got a ton of matches. I've got 3 matches currently.
Let me see these matches.
Let's see.
I want to see the matches that James has.
All right, there you go.
Match number one. I can't see that well. What is her name?
Like Kate.
Her name is Kate. All right. She looks cute. A little heavy on the makeup. A little too much like a doll. All right. The next one is who?
Go to the next one. Erica.
All right. So now, folks, thanks for obliging. I've now seen how Tinder works. I've never seen this before. Well, this just adds a little more substance and understanding to the story that online dating is not changing with Trump's election. Trump voters, please swipe left and go to your room and think about what you've done. That is, so you swipe left, you're not interested. You swipe right, you're interested, and you get to chat. And this person on Tinder says, Trump voters, please swipe left and go to your room and think about what...
I've seen that before.
Really?
I have, yeah.
So you've seen this issue where people don't want to...
Oh, yeah, and it's horrible. Because they're judging me based on one little thing.
Now, have you seen people that don't want somebody that voted for Hillary? Have you seen that as well?
No, I have not seen that.
So you've only seen anti-Trump. You haven't seen anti-Hillary.
Right. Yeah.
Just anti... Wow. What else? What I'm looking for. Well, in this crazy day and age, first and foremost, somebody who did not vote for Trump. Oh, that's lovely. Lovely. First and foremost, that's what they're looking for. Someone who did not vote for Trump says a profile on Bumble. That's another dating app. James just said that he has Bumble as well. Oh, is that really a good name? Is that really a good name for a dating app, Bumble? Oh, boy. And you're on Grindr as well, right?
I'm going to hop on the air and say no to that.
Grindr is a gay app. Now, I knew that because I read a story. I read something recently about Grindr. It was something with the gay pride parade in New York last weekend. There was some story, and I was actually aware of Grindr. I'd heard of Grindr prior as well. I had to think for a moment. I'm like, yeah, Grindr, that's the gay app. All right, you're not on that one. What else? Since his election, the president has become a new measure of compatibility. Much like someone's age, religion, wanting kids, simply finding things in common, dating online and off is more supercharged with politics than it's ever been, said an online dating expert who specializes in this matchmaking. His presidency has created this new deal breaker, says a woman named Laura Davis Edwards. She's a relationship coach, and she's a founder of the website eflirtexpert.com. She says, I've never seen it like this before, where people say no to Trump supporters or they only want to date other Trump supporters. It tells me that people are valuing politics much higher as a preference than they were before. It's another example of how massively our dating culture has changed over the past 4 years, partly because of politics and also because of technology. Tinder, it says, allows people 500 characters to write their profile. Bumble, it's only 300 characters. Since January, many are using that limited space to make it public how much they detest Donald Trump. Oh, boy. Anyway, this story goes on, and it just... So now the dating world, a precursor now, a deal breaker is if you're a Trump supporter, apparently. Isn't that just lovely? Oh. 800-801-8999, the nationwide number here on Schnitt, 800-801-8999. It was also announced that somebody is coming back to Saturday Night Live. Yes. Guess, I thought that he had said last season that he was kind of over it and he was going to phase it out. And he didn't, did he? You know what I'm talking about? Saturday Night Live, is he coming back? Well, he is. Yeah, I'm talking about Alec Baldwin. Yeah, the word is out that Alec Baldwin is going to return as Trump on Saturday Night Live next season. And I've told the story. It was funny the first two times, and then it got desperate. It got mean. You could tell that the writers and even Alec Baldwin, that they were carrying out a personal vendetta, a hatred against Trump. And I said this on the show. We went over this numerous times. Alec Baldwin playing the part of Trump on Saturday Night Live, the first two times, the debut and then the second, it was funny. It was well written. It was fresh. The over-the-top impersonation, the facial expressions, the vocal impersonation, the makeup, the hair. I mean, it was really done well. And then it went south because it changed. It became less about satire and funny and more about personal politics. And they were utilizing this character. The writers of Saturday Night Live were using the Trump character portrayed by Alec Baldwin to vicariously live through and exhale their political hatred. And it became so damn evident after the second time they did the bit. And now it's been announced that he's coming back. Alec Baldwin back as Trump next season on Saturday Night Live. Now, there are reports it might not be as frequent as it was because he has other commitments that he's getting involved in, but it's not going to disappear. It's not going to fade away. He's going to remain Donald Trump. 800-801-8999, nationwide number, 800-801-8999. That is how you get on the program. If you have any thoughts, you know, I don't mind taking calls on the dating thing. Are you a Tinder user? Has this Trump thing come up? Ladies, gentlemen, any aspect of this, any aspect of the dating component and Trump and this little piece that I read some excerpts from the Sacramento Bee newspaper, I'd love to hear your take on it. Or if you had some woes, ups and downs in dating because of Trump. 800-801-8999. Let's grab some phone calls next. 800-801-8999. And if you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. Ladies, gentlemen, love to take your calls next here on Schnitt. 800-801-8999. We'll see if this produces any phone calls and any interest. So stand by. Hey, I'll tell you what. I've got something you ought to be interested in. It's Harry's incredible shaving gear. And I've got something free for you. That's right. I have something free from Harry's.com. I'm going to tell you in just a moment. Harry's, what is their mantra? What is Harry's all about? What is their model? Well, it's a great shave at a fair price. That's what Harry's wants. They want to give you the best shave at the best price. Do you know over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's? And the other thing, ladies, I get email, I get tweets from ladies that say, "Hey, Schnitt, why are you just talking about guys in Harry's?" I've had ladies say, "I love Harry's too. I use Harry's, to shave legs." Women love Harry's as well. So I think it's a whole other market here. Great news if you want to try Harry's. I really would like you to take this opportunity to get something free. You're going to love their blades. You're going to love the Harry's engagement. Once you're Harry's customer, you're going to spread the word. Harry's wants to give you their set free. All they want you to do is just cover a little shipping cost here. Now, your free trial set, you get the Truman Set ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. Now, this is almost a $20 value for you to try. This offer is only available for my Schnitt listeners if you use my promo code Schnitt5 at harrys.com when you check out. Go to harrys.com, get started with your free trial set, almost a $20 value for free. Just cover a couple of bucks for shipping. That's it. Go to harrys.com right now, enter code Schnitt5. harrys.com, the code S-C-H-N as in November, I-T-T, then the number 5. harrys.com. At checkout, use the code Schnitt5. Harry's.com, Schnitt5. Hurry, order today. You're going to love it.
Yeah. This is Schnitt.
Well, the Tinder question and Trump didn't really blow the phones out. I guess we don't have a lot of people that are on Tinder. Or they don't want to call in. You know, we've seen over the years that there are certain things that people are just embarrassed to call about. You know, even if they can remain anonymous or use a different name. So, not going to be the most active phone segment asking about the Tinder issue. If you just tuned in, there was a piece out of the Sacramento Bee, the newspaper, and dating now has, and on like websites like Tinder, the people are bold. They're like, hey, if you vote for Trump, don't even try to date me. Stuff like that. What are your thoughts of a White House threat that if the Syrians, if Assad uses chemical weapons again, that they will pay a heavy price, that Assad and Syria will pay a heavy, heavy price? I mean, that's a pretty substantial threat. Now, where is this coming from? The Pentagon today said that we have spotted activity in Syria at this aircraft shelter, at this Shayrat airfield, which they used in the past to launch a chemical weapons attack. Remember the attack where we went in and we sent missiles in to blow up parts of their airfield? Well, apparently we're sensing and detecting more activity, which could be indicative of another chemical attack, that there are active preparations by Syria. What are your thoughts on us following through and bombing Assad again? Hang on, back in a minute.
This is the Schnitt Show.
Busy half hour. Busy final half hour here on Schnitt. Nikki Haley, the ambassador to the United Nations from these here United States, she has a little warning regarding Syria. Now, if you're not up to speed here, the Pentagon says that they have detected what they're calling indications and active preparations to potentially launch another chemical attack, just like they had done previously, and our response was sending in those cruise missiles rather early in the Trump presidency. And the warning now to Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian president, is if you do it again, there are going to be serious repercussions. So we are sending a message. We're sending a warning to Syria. Don't attack again with chemical weapons. This is Nikki Haley.
My hope is that the president's warning will certainly get Russia and Iran to take a second look. And I hope that it will caution Assad from the fact that we don't want to see innocent men, women, and children hurt again.
Incidentally, the Iranians, they came out with a statement that the White House warning is a, quote, dangerous escalation. Okay. And Assad allegedly gearing up to use chemical weapons again, that's not a dangerous escalation? Really? This could be an interesting couple of days. And what would Russia do? You know, Russia essentially warned us as well to not attack again. I don't think that's going to sway Trump. And if the Russians want to stand by, well, they do. I mean, they have. The word was is that Russia had advance notice, that the Russians knew that Assad was going to use chemical weapons against innocent people, including kids and women. We could have a new escalation, though, on the Syrian front. Let's just stand by and see. Speaking of escalations, there is a new round of cyber attacks that hit today, and the latest is that it has spread to the U.S. Now, early on, late this morning, early this afternoon, the news started breaking about this new cyber attack that was hitting Europe and Russia. And this is an international cyber attack. And now more stories have begun to include the United States. In fact, what do I have here? In the U.S., we're hearing that Merck, I guess the drug company Merck, has been hit. It was their global computer network, including here in the United States. And DLA Piper, which is a multinational law firm. So they were hit as well with these cyber attacks. You know, this is this ransomware situation where somebody falls for a phishing scam opens up an email, clicks on a link, introduces this malicious code into a server or a computer, and that allows these hackers to then take control and then threaten like a kidnapper would and then demand ransom. That's what ransomware is all about. From the ZDNet site, which is a computer and technology site, you know, they're talking about how ransomware is here to stay and it's only going to get more dangerous as cyber criminals move toward increasingly sophisticated forms of this cryptographic malware to carry out these attacks. And what happens is once you infect your system or computer, they'll make contact and they'll say, we have locked out your data. If you ever want to use your data again, you've got to send us X number of dollars. In many cases recently, it hasn't been that bad. It's been like $300. Send us $300 and we'll send you a key. We'll send you this encryption key to unlock your system and release your data. And in many cases, they're demanding Bitcoin. Send Bitcoin. Arrange for Bitcoin to be transferred. Now, the problem is, and the cyber officials will tell you this, the problem is that once you pay the $300 or whatever they're demanding, there is no guarantee whatsoever that they're then going to really give you a key or that a key is going to work to unlock a computer. Because there are many examples of once you're bitten here, you might be screwed and you just got to throw your stuff away and start again. And hopefully you're backed up prior to having the infection. You know, one of the issues is with hard drives, and I'm not a computer expert. This was explained to me, and it just makes a lot of sense, and hopefully I'm relaying this properly. It's my understanding that if you're infected, but you have a hard drive backup that's connected, that could be connected as well just because it was in line and it was, you know, connected at the same time. So what you want to do is you want to just have a backup, but then have the exterior hard drive that you're backed up on just unplugged and have a clean copy of what you need or as much of the most recent mirror of what's important. Because in some cases, people got to just chuck the damn computer or just scrap it and erase the hard drive, reinstall the operating system, and start over again. That's what people are having to do here. So make sure you have a backup. And what happens is some people say, oh, my God, I've been infected. I've got a backup. Thank God. But then it turns out that their backup drive is connected all the time, so that's infected as well. And then they're screwed. Now, you make sure you have a clean backup, and then it's unplugged, and it's totally separate. So if you need to restore, you restore. If there's anyone that wants to add something to this, I'm happy to grab your call, 800-801-8999. Talks about the grim forecast about these ransomware, this malware, that it's here to stay, it's going to get worse. The Russian company, Kaspersky Lab, they released a ransomware report. And their forecast is not good for the most part. But they're also talking about how some of the cyber criminals, some of these ransomware, these malicious computer bastards, that some of these gangs are starting to fight each other. That'd be great. Let them take each other down. So you want me to grab, what is it, Simon? Yeah, let me grab Simon. Simon works in IT. And we also have, before we shut things down today, something I've been talking about for a long time. This whole minimum wage, $15 an hour, fast food deal, there are serious problems. I read a story from the Seattle Times, which cites a study from the University of Washington. Now, Washington is one of these states that has accelerated minimum wage, and wait, it's exactly what I told you was going to happen here. You're not going to be able to sustain fast food workers at $15 an hour at McDonald's. It's just not going to happen. And what is happening is a byproduct. Hey, I'll explain in a minute. Let me grab Simon. Simon says he's an IT guy. Hey, Simon, you're on Schnitt.
Hey, Schnitt, how's it going? I actually just wanted to call because, of course, I've been listening to your show long enough. And I'm actually the IT manager for a marketing company.
Okay. And Simon actually, says what?
Well, Simon says, for starters, what you were explaining, you did a great job of explaining as far as if you do back up your information to a hard drive, if that hard drive is connected to the same network that gets attacked, chances are that backup is going to be taken out as well.
Yep.
And that includes if you have it in a completely geographically different location, like a different data center from where your location is.
Yep.
You're still going to get infected if they're connected in any way, shape, or form.
Gotcha.
So I just wanted to give you that little tidbit of information. I also wanted to bring up a very funny aspect as far as my CEO goes.
Okay.
Because, of course, Kaspersky is a Russian company.
Yep.
And with all of the crazy conspiracy theories with Russia and everything like that, now my CEO has been saying, well, should we be using Kaspersky? Because they're a Russian company, and what if they want to hack us? So it's
well, I thought of that as well, and this has actually come up on the show before, and I brought up that Kaspersky is a Russian company, and maybe the last time that what is this thing called? It's like the WannaCry? It's WannaCry infection. And when this came out, this is a couple of months ago, there was another round of this, and I brought up Kaspersky, and I wondered, do you think there's any chance that Kaspersky's in cahoots with Putin and Russian intelligence?
Now, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, my immediate answer is no.
Right.
But at the same time, it's very possible that Kaspersky engineers are. I mean, it's one of those things where there's a lot of engineers and a lot of hackers that work for antivirus companies. And sometimes they will use the back doors that they design for the software to design or augment exploits that they find or create. So,
right. I mean, because if you have big companies with sensitive data that install your antiviral or anti-malware software, then you might have just carte blanche to get into systems, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you Google for like the top 10 antivirus software, Kaspersky is usually in the top five because
right.
They are considered one of the top five best antivirus applications in companies. So if you want a good footprint of attack surface, using an application like Kaspersky with a backdoor would be ideal.
Anybody you know get hit by this WannaCry malware, and it happened a couple of months ago, and now today there's a whole new round of cyber attacks in the Ukraine, in Europe. It's hit the United States. Do you know anyone that's been hit by this?
None of my U.S. counterparts have had an issue, but I have several U.S. counterparts that have clients overseas, and for some reason it seems to be mostly overseas or international companies.
In this latest round today, right?
Both this latest round and WannaCry, because even with WannaCry, there wasn't a whole lot of U.S. hits. And even with the U.S. hits, it wasn't really because of anything major, but it was mostly medical facilities. And it was primarily because of the fact that medical facilities purposely stay a couple months behind on their patching and their updates versus, like, for instance, my company is a marketing company. So we get our updates right when they come out because we don't have a bunch of sensitive data to worry about getting corrupted from updates. But that tends to be the problem, is that companies will stay behind on their updates so that they don't risk the corruption of their data in the first place.
Roger that, loud and clear. Thank you, Simon.
Yep, bye.
Thanks for checking in. On to the minimum wage thing. And yeah, I've got time to get into this. I saw this story from the Seattle Times. And this is data which was analyzed by the University of Washington. Brand new study. And it talks about this new law as it applies to Washington State. This new law, which was to raise the minimum wage for workers in Seattle, Washington, has ended up costing workers money and their jobs. So it's been a double whammy. Now, the law in Seattle, this went into place back in 2015, and it has stepped up the minimum wage for these lower-end, entry-level, low-wage jobs. According to the Seattle Times here, the pay increased from $9.47 to $10 or $11 an hour, depending on the size of the business and what was earned via tips and benefits, for instance. That's the first phase. Now, in the second phase of the law, wages increased to $13 an hour. Minimum wage in the city of Seattle is supposed to slowly go up until it hits $15 an hour by the year 2021. The University of Washington study says that the increase in wages has actually caused a 9% reduction in hours worked in these lower wage positions. So what does that mean? As the wage went up, the amount of hours that they could work went down, so it meant that employees saw a 6% reduction in their monetary earnings. And it comes out to be about $125 a month in losses for these lower wage earners per job. If you're a low-skilled worker with one of those jobs, $125 a month is a sizable amount of money. That is a quote from Mark Long, who's a professor at the University of Washington, and he's one of the principals here. He's one of the authors of this report. So do you see what's going on here? I mean, they're trying to and we said this. We talked about this with this big minimum wage push for these lower wage earning jobs, working, you know, fast food, working at a McDonald's. It is also going to force restaurants like McDonald's to go automated. We talked about this a couple of years ago, and I remember it, I didn't even know, need to pull up any notes from what I talked about on this subject. It's all ingrained in my head. I talked about how in Europe, with wages going up in Europe, a lot of the fast food restaurants, they have gone to a lot of automation, front-end automation in the kitchen and preparation automation as well, to cut out these high-paying jobs. Ordering, for instance. A lot of ordering is done on a digital screen at a kiosk, for instance. And guess what? McDonald's has installed these things in many locations around the country. And McDonald's has announced that they are going to put the automated ordering stations in another 2,500 restaurants before the end of the year. At least that's what I read earlier today. McDonald's stock has been on a pretty good roll. I want to say McDonald's stock recently hit an all-time high. And they're talking about replacing cashiers, replacing what would be a $11, $12, or to this $15 an hour, you know, this $15 an hour wage. Replacing them with kiosks, with the customer ordering and swiping their credit card or debit card to pay the bill. So McDonald's is putting more. Those that are marching and demanding $15 an hour, essentially, you're sealing your fate. So instead of earning, you know, $7, $8, $9 an hour, you're going to earn zero an hour because your job is going to be gone.
This is the Schnitt Show.
You're going to love this in the final moments of the show. Do you remember when the attorneys general of D.C. and Maryland sued President Trump, saying that his businesses violated the Constitution and the Emoluments Clause, that in office as president, that he was profiting. Remember that? You're going to love this. This is unbelievable. Law News had this. Turns out that the D.C. Attorney General, Carl Racine, well, does he have an ulterior motive here? Why? Well, he listed on his public financial disclosure statement that he's a limited partner in Cork Market and Tasting Room, a D.C. establishment that has sued Trump, claiming that the Trump International Hotel right down the street was unfair competition. Wow, an attorney general that's claiming that the president's businesses are illegal just so happens to have a stake in a competing business that has sued Trump. What? Oh, my God. This is scandalous. And they point out, so there must be other businesses that are suing Trump in D.C., right? Nope. This cork is the only one. Hey, what do you say now, D.C. Attorney General? See you tomorrow, folks. Have a good one.